From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. On yesterday's broadcast, I spoke about the importance of reading the Bible. On today's broadcast, I want to expand the discipline of reading to books in general. I'm sorely tempted to cite the statistics, but here's the bottom line. The numbers of people not reading books today is staggering. A full quarter of the population did not so much as read a single book during the past year. I wonder sometimes on the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I'm promoting books to read or offering books as a resource of the month, whether I'm simply making noise and not being heard. The fact of the matter is, reading good books is a transformational life discipline. Well, let me give you the good news about all of this, which is that as with technology, we can all get hooked on reading all over again. And there are so many benefits, it's hard to know where to begin. Reading improves discipline. It improves vocabulary and memory. It causes us to have creativity and great reasoning skills. It even promotes relaxation. And it can stave off diseases such as Alzheimer's. But more importantly, reading engages you and I with another mind. Think about it. Some of the most engaging conversations that you can possibly imagine occur in mute communion with absent authors. The vistas are virtually limitless. This year, I had the privilege of interviewing the author of a book titled Same-Sex Marriage. In that book, the author forwards the notion that marriage has at all times and in all societies been a relationship between men and women. That marriage exists because of the dual gender distinct nature of our humanity. As such, the connection between marriage and procreation is far more than just incidental. She noted that, in contrary opinion, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy holds that marriage, as historically defined, fosters little more than ill will and animosity. In his considered opinion, anyone who embraces the historical definition of marriage, thus excluding same-sex couples, does so out of hate and animus. You think about when you read something that should have been self-evident to this supremely erudite arbiter of justice, which is that virtually every redefinition of marriage, including his redefinition of marriage, excludes someone. But is this due to hate or animus, or to common sense? If marriage means everything, in the end it may well mean nothing at all. As Maggie Gallagher once profoundly noted, social institutions like marriage are created and sustained and transmitted by words and the images, symbols, and feelings that surround those words. So if you change the meaning of a word, you change the thing itself. If you redefine the word cat to mean a furry domestic animal with four legs and a tail, it becomes quite difficult to know whether you're talking about a cat, a dog, or something else. If we want to speak to each other about cats, we'll either have to invent a new term or hope it will still communicate the full valence of the old word. Otherwise, we'll have to do without the word cat at all. And one might reasonably foresee, without charting all of the particulars, that it might become harder to communicate an idea for which we no longer have any word. Well, my point is that by reading, I'm engaging minds from the past as well as minds in the present. The net result? Well, the net result is a synergy by which I am equipped in matters of life and truth. During the past decade, Kathy and I have been gaining great insight by reading early church fathers, by reading their thoughts and learning from their actions. We have had a renewed perspective for our everyday living in the present. Sometime in the past year, we read about the life of Polycarp. In the middle of the second century, when persecution broke out against the church in Smyrna, which is present-day Turkey, Christians were fed to wild animals and sacrificed to the flames. Polycarp was their leader, and as such, he became a primary target of their pagan hatred. Yet when the governor threatened to engulf him in earthly fire, Polycarp simply educated him on the terrors of eternal fire, rather than curse God and live. Polycarp confessed Christ and died. Reading his story not only transported us back in time, but it fuels a future faith. Because who knows when we, like Polycarp, will be called upon to stand for deeply held convictions, no matter what the cost. I couldn't help but wonder if Polycarp himself had been emboldened by the story of Ignatius. If you haven't read that one, you absolutely should. Ignatius was one of the last church leaders personally acquainted with the New Testament apostles themselves. At the turn of the century, he was forcibly removed from service to the saints in Antioch and thrown to the beasts in a Roman amphitheater. His testimony of faith, faith in the face of a horrifying death, has inspired multitudes to stand for Christ, no matter the cost. Here's what he said. You can read this in one of the books that we offered during the past year. It's a book that I think everybody should read, When the Church Was Young. But he said, allow me to become food for the wild beasts, through whose means it will be granted me to reach God. I'm the wheat of God, and I am ground by the teeth of wild beasts, that I may be found the pure bread of Christ. Along with biographies of martyrs in the early church, I've been greatly inspired by reading stories of modern-day saints. Just last night, I read the account of a man who survived the horrendous social experiment that Mao imposed on the Chinese populace. Back then, some 30 million died. Died in what was imagined to be a great leap forward into the heaven of communist socialism. Reading in the comforts of my home, I was transported back to a time in which millions considered a tiny piece of bread, a small cup of water, a luxury. And as I read, I imagined myself in the circumstances that were being depicted. That's exactly what happens when you read. You are engaging another mind. When you read the Bible, you're engaging the mind of God. as he inspired authors to write, you're also engaging their minds. And the same thing is true when you read books. You're engaging other minds. And in the process, your life becomes rich and full, as opposed to empty. I hope this year you will take on the practice of reading. I'm going to talk more about what it means to read books and how it enriches your life immeasurably. As we go to break, I also want to thank all of you who support the ministry and get books as a result so that we can support good spiritual disciplines in your life. I'll be right back with more on the wonder of reading.
Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, engage with social media, or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Hank Unplugged podcast, the Christian Research Journal, and the other outreaches of the Christian Research Institute exist to help you defend your faith against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end when it's essential to ensure CRI's outreaches will advance at full strength into 2021. To help us continue equipping you to stand strong, call now before the year ends. 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is supported by people like you who share our mission to equip Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. As our world concludes one of the most turbulent and trying years in our lifetime, consider the famous lines from C.T. Studd's poem, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." For those of us who have set our hearts and eyes on eternity, that's an important reminder. Please partner with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Modern science popularizers often suggest there is no need for God and deny any evidence of his existence. But the story of the cosmos provides an honest and fascinating perspective, pointing to a God who makes himself known through the wonder and beauty of his creation. The Story of the Cosmos, How the Heavens Declare the Glory of God, is a beautifully illustrated book featuring experts such as William Lane Craig, Guillermo Gonzalez, Melissa Kane Travis, Michael Ward, and others, taking a deeper look at the universe and exploring the traces of God's glory in the latest discoveries of astronomy, science, literature, and art. To receive your copy of The Story of the Cosmos, How the Heavens Declare the Glory of God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. I'm talking on today's broadcast about the spiritual discipline of reading, about how reading expands your horizons, and how at the Christian Research Institute, we are constantly on the lookout for the best of the best in books. That's why each month we have a book of the month. I hope you're taking advantage of that. I was also mentioning before the break about the social experiment, which I read about, and it so impacted me, the social experiment of Mao in China. I've traveled to China many times, and so I've seen the impact of what communism has done in countries in Asia, other parts of the world as well. But I also read about the immense growth of Christianity in the face of modern persecutions. On the one hand are genuine encounters with uncreated energy in the epicenter of religious persecution. On the other, unfortunately, an epidemic of complacency and spiritual malnourishment. You know, having a form of godliness but denying its power. As faith without works is devoid of substance, so religion devoid of God's uncreated energy is little more than baptized secular humanism. Acquiescence to logical truth propositions devoid of living realities. Well, all of these kinds of thoughts course through my mind as I read. That's what reading does. It provides an enhanced perspective on reality. As we see, the divine actively participating in the lives of people past and present, we begin to realize how God works redemptively in and through our lives as well. If there was a secret to John Wesley's otherworldly ministry, I am absolutely convinced it was reading. Depth of understanding gained through reading allowed him to tap into wellsprings of uncreated energies. He used to exhort other preachers to read as well, and he never pulled a punch. One time he said this, "What has exceedingly hurt you as a preacher in times past, in fact to this very day, is a lack of reading." And he urged, therefore, preachers, think about this, preachers who should be reading, to begin reading at once, to make the discipline of reading a daily routine. Wesley said, "Fix some parts of every day for private exercises. You might acquire the taste which you don't have now, the taste for reading. And what is tedious at the beginning, afterward will be pleasant. Whether you like it or not, read and pray daily. It is for your life. There's no other way. Else," he said, "you'll be a trifler all the days and a petty, superficial preacher." A lot of those around. "Do justice to your own soul. Give it time. Give it the means to grow. Don't starve yourself any longer by not reading." Lewis is a great example. Of course, talking about C.S. Lewis. He may well have been the most influential British writer in all of history. And I think reading made it so. Like his parents, C.S. Lewis read voraciously. They set a good example for him. As a young child, he had already immersed himself in the classics. And as with my wife, Kathy, he loved reading George MacDonald. Upon reading a copy of Phantastes, which he happened upon at a train station bookstall, Lewis said he felt as though he had crossed a great frontier. Like G.K. Chesterton, who famously said that the writings of MacDonald made a difference to his whole existence, Lewis was forever hooked. He claimed to have never written a book in which he didn't quote MacDonald. A lot of people are doing the same thing with Lewis today. He said, I know hardly any other writer who seems to be closer or more continually close to the spirit of Christ himself. Hence his Christ-like union of tenderness and severity. Nowhere else outside the New Testament, he said, have I found terror and comfort so intertwined. Lewis loved a wide variety of genres, not the least of which was fantasy and fiction. Though he was a prodigious intellect, these genres continually stoked his imagination. He knew that by prodding readers through the wardrobe into Narnia, they might well emerge with renewed sensitivities to all that is real. Likewise, to reside for a time within the minds of fiction writers, as well as their characters, is a means by which to ponder existent realities. Far from escapism, such writings can propel us into the mystery of an unseen world as real as the very flesh upon our bones. While Lewis loved contemporary writings, he treasured the classics, and thus he counsels you and me to augment the reading of every new book with one that has withstood the test of time. And not only that, he counsels us to read the classics until we own their contents. He said, an unliterary man may be defined as one who reads books only once. Well, I can tell you I own many books that are dog-eared and worn from reading over and over again. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life is one of those books. As is my custom, I first read it with a yellow highlighter. I then go back and underline portions with a pen, and some of the passages I actually memorize. Others I refer back to time and time again, even on the Bible Instrument broadcast. And whenever I feel myself gravitating toward living life and serving the Lord in my own gifting, I'm reminded of Nee's admonitions. He once said, in us who have received Christ, there is a new life. We all have that precious possession, that treasure in the vessel. Praise the Lord for the reality of the life within. This life is not merely a changed life. What God offers us is an exchanged life, a substituted life. And Christ. Christ is our substitute within. The exchange life is not something which we ourselves have to produce. It is Christ's own life reproduced in us. Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Another book I refer back to frequently is Dallas Willard's The Spirit of the Disciplines. By it, I'm reminded that the purpose of life practices, of living disciplines, is transformation. We're not just waiting to experience life after death. We're afforded life straight away. If we limit salvation to forgiveness of sins, we will fail to understand what our present lives have to do with our redemption. What I consider again and again as a return to highlighted and underlined portions of Willard's book is that the idea of redemption as the impartation of a life provides a totally different framework of understanding. Through the Spirit of the Disciplines, my life will be poised to become a life of the same quality as Christ's life because it is indeed the life of Christ. He really does live in us. The incarnation really does continue. Now, the point of saying all of this is simply to emphasize that reading is a life practice by which our minds may be renewed, by which our minds may be transformed. It is a principal tool through which God changes us. So turn off the television. Get in the habit of reading. Engage the mind of God. Engage the marvelous minds of those who have learned to think His thoughts after Him. I pray that the year 2021 will be a year in which you wean yourself off destructive social media platforms. And once again, engage or re-engage the habit of reading. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Tomorrow, I want to talk about one of the most neglected and important spiritual disciplines of all as we head into a brand new year. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today. Today's growing firestorm of false teachers, fringe religions, and fierce attacks on Christianity is enough to shake the faith of even the most dedicated believers. When you give to support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, you help strengthen many who need guidance and help those whose faith is unwavering draw even closer to Christ. Your tax-deductible gift by December 31st helps us end the year strong and prepared to bring you even more life-changing resources in 2021. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is supported by people like you who share our mission to equip Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. As our world concludes one of the most turbulent and trying years in our lifetime, consider the famous lines from C.T. Studd's poem, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." For those of us who have set our hearts and eyes on eternity, that's an important reminder. Please partner with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.